You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
We are continuing our series on Prepared with a Reason, a curriculum from Concordia Publishing House. It helps youth, young adults, and adults. I'm not sure which category I fall in. I'm pretty sure I fall into the older adults category.
I will not comment.
You will not comment. to help us better understand and interact with differing worldviews. Today's episode of The Coffee Hour is underwritten in part by Concordia University Chicago. You can learn more about Concordia University Chicago by visiting cuchicago.edu. Today, we're going to talk about all things being equal or not equal. Mm-hmm. Our guest, the Reverend Dr. John Ferguson, senior pastor of Peace Lutheran Church in St. Louis, Missouri. He wrote the topic number 4, All Things Are Not Equal and Prepared with a Reason. Pastor Ferguson, welcome back to the Coffee Hour.
It's always great to be here.
I am excited to talk about this unit. I'm enjoying this series altogether. Like, all the topics really make my brain just, I don't know, all the gears turn.
Yeah,
in there. Makes
it's
me
good.
Think hard.
I can feel my brain expanding. I like that.
Wrinkling.
Or that, yeah.
Wrinkling.
Oh,
the smarter you get, it wrinkles
fun.
More, right? Doesn't sound nearly
sure,
as enticing.
No.
What age category we're in.
All Things Are Not Equal is the title of the topic that you wrote on. And so we're going to talk about how we think and how we determine what's important. How do many of us determine what we value or what is important?
Yeah, sure. So in our culture right now, that's just kind of a wild game. You might as well throw darts, right? Whatever, since we've over time have bought into, in our academics especially, bought into a lot of the idea of feelings ruling everything and whatever I deem is true in the moment must be true. That has caused us to be in a situation where we tend to prioritize whatever seems right in the moment, and we tend to value the things that we see as advantageous to us in the moment, with letting our feelings mostly in the moment, in the relationships that we have, dictate how we move forward in regard to the decisions that we make. And that then allows us to change what we want to prioritize with the circumstance, regardless of whether it's good or right or useful or going to be helpful long-term or even destructive long-term. We don't really think through that very much. And so one of the things that I appreciated about this Prepared for a Reason program is that it calls on us to think through things again in a proper way. How do we establish foundations that are consistent in how we go about approaching our perspective on the world, and then how that shapes our understanding as we gain new information and try to work through it, and then how it shapes, gives us a consistency in how we then act in relation to our beliefs, so that our beliefs as Christians aren't just for Sunday morning, that they're actually something that we believe, teach, and confess daily, that shape the way we look at the world and the way we act. So all of that together then, as you've gone through this program, you've talked about, being, and then you've looked at how we also see what's true and what's not true. So then we move into how do you value and prioritize those things? And so axiology is the all things equal or not equal, the study of that and how we prioritize what's valuable and worthy. And axios is just the Greek for worth. So it's just a fancy term that sounds cool, but it really just means how do we learn how to value things and how do we go about giving value to the different truths that we hold or value to the different options in front of us for how we live out our daily lives.
Why is it important for us to be able to give value to things? How does that, why is that an important thing for people to be able to do based on scripture?
Okay, so for us to have the right foundation on which to build, you want to make sure that anything you build up has to be on something that won't shake, or else it's going to fall apart, right? It's like if we just use shoddy materials at the beginning because we don't care, it doesn't matter how fancy the stuff is we put on it. In the end, when something bad happens, it'll all fall apart. So we want to prioritize the things that can give us a firm foundation and that will help shape and form us to make right decisions in the things that we do. And part of that then is, okay, what has to be at the center all the time or at the bottom all the time? And how do we keep then all those, or the foundation, I mean, and then how do we keep those things structured in such a way that when it comes to making a decision over options, we're able to weigh those with the right understanding of how we would prioritize those things. So an example of that in the Bible is the Ten Commandments. So we start with the first commandment, you shall have no other gods. And then the rest of the commandments build on top of that. How do we reflect that reality into our interaction with the way that we encounter God at the divine service? And then how does that shape and inform us as we interact with our neighbor? But if the second table of the commandments was first, that would really be very strange then to use that as a basis to understand then how we interact with God. So we keep God at the center, and then everything else kind of comes into play around that. Like that's a form of this idea of discerning worth.
What do you know about the history of axiology and how we make decisions? You shared, like, in more recent times, we prioritize based on how we feel about something. What are my feelings and about a particular topic or issue? And that helps us prioritize it, whether or not it's advantageous to me at the moment. But we haven't always thought this way. And you've given some great examples of how Scripture helps us prioritize things. Do you know more about the history of axiology or how humans have prioritized things throughout history?
Sure. Well, generally, what we find in the last, let's say, several hundred years. So leading into the Enlightenment, you had, in the West at least, you generally had an understanding that Christian background, understanding of trying to put God at the center, whatever stripe of church, however they defined that. Mm-hmm. But that was generally the core, and then you built out from there. Post-Enlightenment, you started getting it where the core became the human themselves, right? Human reason. And then you built from there. Once we took God out of the center and put man in there, then everything starts getting sketchy. We'll put it that way. And from there, the movement became, started rolling in such a way that we started leaving the idea of using logic and rhetoric structures with the foundation of the reality that God has created, to moving to using logic, but from a foundation that man creates and what we want to be true versus perhaps what is true. And then we moved away from that to not using logic and just doing the part where we want it to be true. And so we'll just go with what we want to be true and just pretend it's true. And then we'll see where that goes. And that's why you get some of the situations we have today where people in the face of biology and logic and everything are just like, no, man, because I want it to be this way. So therefore, I'm just going to pretend it's that way. And then everything falls apart because reality doesn't care if you believe in it or not. Real's real. And so you have all these consequences that fall out. And then everyone wonders at how that could be. And they all get mad. And it's like, well, because there is a truth out there. And then you have to prioritize based on those foundational truths. And the Bible gives us a clear way of doing that. But our world, in rejecting God and pushing God to the periphery or even out, then by putting man in the middle, has created an environment where now we can just try to pretend whatever we want to be true happens to be. And that's where you end up with the world we live in right now in many ways.
Yeah, absolutely. How might assigning a value to things in our lives change over time throughout our life? Does it change over time throughout our lives?
Sure. So there's a few things in there that do change over time. The foundations don't. So as Christians, especially as confessional Lutherans, God is at the center all the time, mm-hmm. right? The salvation we have in Christ Jesus, the justification that we have by faith alone and what Christ has done for us, that's the foundation because that gives us our identity. We learn who we are, not from what the world says we are, but from whom God says we are. And so if we're the children of God in Christ Jesus, then God tells us that's how we should look at ourselves. The Small Catechism speaks that way when it talks about drowning the old Adam daily in the waters of our baptism. That's what that's about. That image is the idea that every morning I wake up and say, I am God's child in my baptism. And that's supposed to then inform and shape how I look at the world. In the Old Testament, you have that in Deuteronomy 6, where God says that you should, you know, he is one, and that you should love the Lord your God with all your heart and your soul and your mind. And then it says, and you should teach these things to your children, and you should diligently, and they should talk of them when you lie down and when you get up and when you walk on the road and, you know, when you're at home, when you're at work. And it shapes everything, and it goes on to say it shapes everything that you see and shapes everything that you do. That's the whole goal of it. So for the Christian, that becomes the foundation. The identity in Christ is foundational. And then from there, so God and our relationship to God and who he has made us to be, that becomes your priority, right? That becomes your center. And then from there, you begin to prioritize things based on that. Now, the rest of that will change then over time and circumstance. So my kids going through school, they were supposed to see us as the authority, right? That's the fourth commandment stuff. Mm-hmm. And so our priority was to train them up in the way they should go. And that's, so that became one of our high priorities as parents, right? So once kids entered the picture, suddenly they get way up on the priority level. Just like when I first got married, it wasn't just about me anymore. Suddenly, and me doing the best I could, suddenly it was about how do I serve my wife? My wife becomes a priority way above myself. So it went from kind of God and then me serving God and then me looking to be a good citizen to God, and then me upholding my wife to be the best person she could be, and then me and my well-being so that I could then serve otherwise in the world. And then my kids come in, and so they get shoved in there too, right? So I just keep going down the totem pole, and then priorities keep going up the totem pole as these persons come into your life whom God has given you and given you the responsibility for. So some of those priorities and values shift depending on your circumstance and the changes you have in life. God also, of course, increases our wisdom over time. So we realize, oh yeah, that is probably not really that important. I probably need to just push that down on my list of values as we gain that wisdom and perspective that he gives us as we subdue that sinful nature and as he lifts up our recognition of his perspective and how he wants us to act in our lives.
I appreciate that you pointed out that our values certainly change when God is the center of it versus when we push out God and make man the center of our priorities. When God is the center of it, we wake up and the first thing we say we are God's child, right? You pointed that out. Mm-hmm. When God is not the center of it, we wake up and the first thing we say is not I am God's child, but rather I am God in essence.
Well, tacitly, definitely, right? And if I don't like my world, then what do I think about that, right? Well, if I'm the God and my life stinks, then what does that say about my ability to do that? And then if I'm keeping myself first, but keeping myself first is not working, then what is valuable? Am I valuable? Right. And so there's a lot of crisis of, you know, pride and despair that goes up and down and vacillates. Everything wobbles. We get constantly attracted to the new thing because maybe that'll fix the problem I have. If I just pull this into my life or try to get this other relationship, you know, and so, but the relationships become so easily toxic because they're all narcissistic and they're all self-centered rather than being centered on Christ and understanding of serving and loving our neighbor. So we tend to manipulate things rather than work through things compassionately. So there's a lot of challenges once you take God out of the center to not only understand what's true, but also then, of course, to prioritize things correctly.
We are in our multi-part series on Prepared with Reason from Concordia Publishing House. Our guest today, the Reverend Dr. John Ferguson, will continue the conversation in just a moment right here on the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia University Chicago. I'm thrilled to announce the Prepared to Serve Church Professional Guarantee. Any new student in one of CUC's six church work programs will pay no more than $5,000 in annual tuition and required fees guaranteed. Prepared to Serve is a donor-funded initiative. Support future church work students by becoming a funding partner at cuchicago.edu/prepared-to-serve. Concordia University Chicago. With Christ at the center, we stand tall for the church.
Welcome back to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
We're continuing our series on Prepared with Reason from Concordia Publishing House. Our guest today, the Reverend Dr. John Ferguson, he's senior pastor at Peace Lutheran Church in St. Louis, Missouri, and also wrote topic number four, All Things Are Not Equal. The topic is axiology, if we're talking about the big ology words in this series, which have been fun, talking about how we decide what is important, how we prioritize our values or what is important. How does our understanding of axiology help us better understand others as we witness to Christ to our neighbors?
Oh, that's a good question. I think one way you could approach that would be, one of our goals is always to effectively evangelize. What we've found is the primary way that works is through relationship. So as you get to know people and they get to know you, they begin to see who you are and how you live your life. And because if we have our things together and we're being consistent, including that we're sinners and we need forgiveness, right. And speaking into that and not avoiding it, what we find is that people tend to, especially if they're having trouble in their life, wonder how it kind of flows consistently for us. Even whether we're having trouble in our lives or things are going well, we're kind of able to ride the wave of life in the faith. So as we approach people, the goal is always in relationship to meet them where they're at. And one of the ways that we do that as we get to know them is we begin to understand their priorities and what it is that they value and whether those things ought to be valued or not. And are the things that they value actually toxic for them and damaging their lives? Or is the way that they're looking at things causing them to create trouble for themselves and their lives because they're defying the natural order that God has given and don't understand what it is that's true and right? And so, you know, if we keep hammering away at something that is bad because we don't realize it's bad, that's not going to be healthy, right? Mm-hmm. So being able to speak into those moments as we understand those relationships and grow in those relationships, and then having that relationship so we can have a conversation about those things with them and not being afraid to bring those things up, especially when we run into them in life with those other people. And that helps them understand value and priority as well.
What are some of those worldly assumptions that give something value or importance outside of maybe what we would say based on scripture?
So one of the values that the world would certainly say is valuable is the own narcissistic understanding of worth and goals. So for example, our understanding of life. So life's always a hot topic because it's so black and white when it comes to our understanding of it. So you have a world that has a portion of it that says that children are an inconvenience and that family is not important. And what's more important is that you live a life that's fun and a life that you think makes you happy. Most of the way that they describe those things, though, is basically like you want to live as a teenager forever and you never really want to grow up. And so you want to keep your priorities that a teenager would have in the world rather than get to adulthood and be a responsible person with a family. And so the idea then, you denigrate life and say, well, bringing a new life into the world is not important or even is negative. And so we then deprioritize life in the favor of, let's say, sexual promiscuity, because that's fun. And so how dare this new life intrude on my fun? So I guess I'll get an abortion so I don't have to worry about that. And so then we try to convince ourselves that that's an inconvenience and it shouldn't be a priority, that life isn't valuable, or at least other lives than mine aren't valuable. And that leads us then to see people as commodities. And so we end up then starting to look at not only those on the far ends of life, on the bookends of those that are elderly and those that are young, as being not priority, because they're not utilitarian and they're not useful. But also we start seeing each other in terms of utility and not in terms of humanity. So we start treating each other like a means to an end rather than as a valuable child of God whom he died for in Christ Jesus. And then lives become tragedies, right? Not only as they end lives in a tragic way, but they themselves then become tragedies because they have to live with the guilt and burden of treating people as if they're not people. And whether they realize it or not, the reality of the fifth commandment's a reality. And there are consequences to breaking it in my life, whether I regard it or not. It's like trying to defy gravity. You can say you don't like it all you want and jump off the balcony, and it doesn't matter if you believe in it or not, gravity's going to take effect. So same's true for the moral law. And so if we don't prioritize things right in the world because God's out of the way, and we start putting ourselves at the center, we start pretending things are true. There are real consequences to that. And so being able to evaluate from a true basis is incredibly important for the quality of our lives, but also our perception of ourselves, our perception of others around us, and our purpose that we have in existence even.
What did you learn while researching for this topic? And what did you learn while preparing to write for this?
I would say that it helped me appreciate more the idea of axiology, really. I'd kind of just lumped it in with the logical process, right? So you got kind of grammar, logic, rhetoric. And I was like, well, this is kind of like the logic to rhetoric stage. Like you're starting to compare and contrast, competing arguments. And I thought, well, but this is all, and when I first saw it, I was like, well, this is kind of splitting hairs. But then I realized it's really not, that it was about how do I take an understanding of my life with all the different things that come into my life every day? And how do I begin to prioritize those in such a way that I can not only discern God's truth in the midst of a challenging world, but also how do I prioritize things so I can be God's instrument to the best of my ability in the day that he's given me? And so a study and a careful thought through that process helps you then figure out how to take your day and kind of maximize it for the work that you can do as a child of God for those people that are in your life.
Our guest today, the Reverend Dr. John Ferguson, Senior Pastor, Peace Lutheran Church in St. Louis, Missouri. Thank you so much for helping us dig into topic number 4 in Prepared with a Reason.
Oh, I'm delighted to be here.
You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support The Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.